would like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. I would like to read from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5 and reading through verse 11. Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 5, reading through verse 11. Before we begin to endeavor to read from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God and to know that Thou art our Heavenly Father, to know that Thou dost love us with an everlasting love and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We're so thankful to know that heaven is real and that one day we're going to be in that eternal heaven, that home not made with hands, where there will be no more sorrow, sickness, pain, no more death, and no more sin. We look forward to the time that we'll be able to give Thee the praise and honor and glory that's due Thy great and holy name. Lord, we thank You that while we live here in this world, that we have the privilege to try to serve Thee. And we pray that You would help us every day of our lives, that we would be servants of God. Help us to live lives that would honor and glorify Thee. Help us to love Thee with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And help us to love our neighbor as ourselves. We thank You, Lord, for the birth of little Hunter. We thank You for his life. We thank You for his health. We pray that You would continue to bless him and bless his parents as they bring him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And we pray that You would bless all the parents, that they would bring up their children and train up their children in the way that they should go. We pray that You would help all of us, that we would work and labor together to the upbuilding of Thy cause and kingdom in the earth. We thank You, Lord, for every person who's here today. Thank You for every member and every friend of the body, and we pray that You would help us all to be filled with the Spirit of God, that we would hear the Word of God and understand it and believe it and obey it. Bless us now as we try to study Thy Word, and bless all those who have special burdens and problems. We beg that You would help them and help us to know how to help them. We beg in the name of our blessed Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reading now from Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. The Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want us to go back this morning and look primarily at the fifth verse where the Word of God says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We need to have the mind of Christ. You know, the Word of God says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I have the mind of Christ, if I'm thinking like Jesus was thinking, then I'm also going to have the actions and the life like Christ lived. I think it is impossible to have the mind of Christ without also following that up by the actions in our lives. Whatever is in our heart and whatever is in our mind, that's going to be manifest and come out in our lives. Now, what was the main thing? And I know that there are a lot of different ways that we can look at having the mind of Christ. But there are two main ways that I want us to look at this morning. The number one thing that's mentioned in this passage of Scripture, in Philippians 2, 5 through 11, what is the number one way that you would describe the mind of Christ as you look at verses 5 through 11, especially 6 through 11, what would you say is the main way or the main characteristic of the mind of Christ that's described in verses 6 through 11? Can you think of one word that would describe the mind of Christ in this passage of Scripture? What would be one way, one word that would describe the mind of Christ here? Okay, we had three or four different statements. They were all basically the same. Several of you said humility, and that was the main thing that was on my heart and mind. I want you to look at, and that's the main thought that first I want us to consider, is that we need to have an humble mind. Our mind, if it's the mind of Christ, if we have the mind of Christ, our mind is going to be full of humility. That is, we don't want to be exalted, we don't want to be lifted up, but rather we want Christ Jesus to be lifted up. We want God to be honored and God to be glorified. Even as we do things in our service to God, Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify," who? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. It's not that we ought to receive glory. Jesus gave all glory to the Father. And if we're going to be following Jesus Christ, and if we're going to have the mind of Christ, then our desire is for God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, for God to get the glory for everything that we do. We need to pray that God will help us to be humble. I want you to notice the first statement in verse 7. When it talks about us having the mind of Christ, it talks about Jesus. In verse 7, it says that Jesus made himself of no reputation. I want you to think about that. What does it mean to make yourself of no reputation? How did Jesus, let's first think about Jesus. How did Jesus make himself of no reputation? I think from the cradle to the grave, that you can see that Jesus made himself of no reputation. Where was he born? He was born in a stable. Was he a rich man or was he a poor man all the days of his life? He was a poor man. He made himself of no reputation. You know, Jesus, whenever he began to call his disciples to follow him, he says, "The foxes have their holes, and the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Now, that was Jesus. Why was he that way? Could Jesus have been a man that worked as a carpenter and been an outstanding carpenter, and he was a carpenter, and he was an outstanding carpenter, but if he had spent all of his time being a carpenter, could he have been rather well off in his day? He could have been. But the thing is, his life was not spent trying to earn things and get things for himself or earn money for himself. His life was spent trying to help other people. And so Jesus made himself of no reputation. He was born poor. He lived a poor life. You know, there's a modern day theology today that says that God wants everybody to be rich. I'll tell you, the Word of God denies that. There's a difference in the truth of God's Word and much of the theology that goes forth from pulpits today. It is not the will or desire of God for everybody to be rich. The Word of God says that Jesus said that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Riches and prosperity tend to spiritual poverty. The more we have, the less likely we are to serve God. Now, Jesus made himself of no reputation. And the second phrase in that seventh verse says, he took upon him the form of a servant. That's what he was. He was a servant. Don't we sometimes want people to serve us instead of us being a servant to other people? You know, the Word of God teaches that if we're going to be a follower of Christ, If we're going to be a disciple of Christ, then we have to serve other people. We have to spend our lives doing things to help other people. Is that what Jesus did? You know, as you read the life of Jesus, you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you read the Gospels, and all you find is Jesus went from one place to another, either healing the sick and helping the people in various ways, and feeding the people and teaching the people. He was either helping people with their material, physical problems, or else he was teaching them and helping them with their spiritual problems. But the whole life of Jesus was spent helping other people. He was a servant. The Word of God says that Jesus, when he came into this world, he came not to be ministered unto, but to what? But to minister. How many of you are ministers? I asked that question last week. How many of us are supposed to be ministers? Let me just rephrase that. All of us are supposed to be ministers. That is, a servant. That's what the word minister means. It means a servant. All of us are supposed to be serving other people. Now, what does it take to be a servant of God? Okay, it takes humility, but it takes... The first thing that comes is you have to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I try to be humble, if I try to do things, if I try to serve people, but my mind is not an humble mind, I'm not going to serve people very long, and I'm not going to serve them for the right purpose. But the Scripture, the text says this morning, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If I have the mind of Christ, if I have the mind of humility, then I'm also going to, it's outwardly going to come that I'm going to be a servant. My actions are a product of my thinking. The more I think humility, the more I act humility. The more I think about being a servant, the more I act as a servant. The more I think about loving God and loving my neighbor, the more I will get out and actively love God and love my neighbor. Jesus was a servant. He spent his whole life as a servant. And if I have the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, I will have the mind of a servant. That's going to be my desire. That's going to be my thought. That's going to be my feelings. That's going to be my intentions, is to be a servant of God and a servant of God's people. We need to serve one another. We need to help one another. And that's what it means to have the mind of Christ in this particular passage of Scripture. That's the main thing it's talking about, is having the mind of Christ, that He made Himself of no reputation, and He took upon Him the form of a servant. You know, when Jesus had the Last Supper and other times when He was with His disciples, and when He would, let's take for example in John chapter 13, where the Word of God talks about them having a supper there, and then Jesus laid aside His garments, and He girded Himself with a towel, and He began to kneel down and wash the feet of His disciples. How many of you have ever been real sick for a long period of time? Let me just tell you from experience. I was unconscious for about 3 weeks, and when I came to, you know the first physical thing I wanted done to me? I wanted my head washed. Now that may not make any sense to you. It won't make any sense to you unless you've been sick for a long period of time. But when you've been sick for a long period of time, you want somebody to wash your hair, wash your head, to get it clean. And I can still remember how wonderful it felt when that orderly came in there and rolled me down. I wasn't able to sit up, but he rolled me down to another room and put my head in that sink, and he began to wash my hair. And I just cried and cried, and I thank God that he was willing to come and take me down and wash my hair. Now, did you know there's a lot of difference in washing somebody's hair and getting down and washing their feet? And that's what Jesus did. He didn't just... Now, he washed people in various ways, But he knelt down, Jesus knelt down, and washed the feet of his disciples, and he knew, when he was washing their feet, he knew that every one of them was going to deny him and turn away from him and betray him, and yet he loved them and he humbled himself. Did you know that took a mind different than any natural mind has ever been? And you and I, as God's people, if we have the mind of Christ, we're going to be willing to kneel down and wash the feet of our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to say this, and I thought about this a lot yesterday. And brethren, if I know my heart, there's not a human being on this earth. Now, I know there's difference in the communion service. That's a special service. But I believe that we ought to be willing to bow down and wash anybody's feet. I believe that if we have the mind of Christ, I believe that we ought to be willing to bow down and wash anyone's feet. That's the mind of Christ. That's making ourselves of no reputation. That is, as the Scripture says here, that's taking upon ourselves the form of a servant, to kneel down and wash the feet of our brethren. And I look forward. You know the one time of my life every year that's the highest point of my entire year, always, without exception, is the communion service. When we enter into that communion service and we partake of that unleavened bread and wine, and we think about the sufferings of Jesus Christ, we think about His blood being shed for us, we think about what He endured and how He humbled Himself and made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and became a man, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And I think about the humility of Christ as He hung there on the cross of Calvary. It makes my heart weep to know that Jesus loved me so much that He did that for me. That's the mind of Christ. To be willing to humble Himself and to be willing to suffer and to be willing to die for people who did not deserve to have the blood of Jesus Christ shed for them. It's a great blessing to know something about the mind of Christ. The Bible tells us, who hath known the mind of the Lord? You can't fully comprehend the mind of the Lord. But I know some things about the mind of Christ because God's Word tells me about some things about the mind of Christ. And I ought to have the mind of Christ. I ought to have that mind of humility to be a servant and to bow down. And I would encourage every one of you, even if you're not a member of the church. Of course, the communion service is just for members of the church. But if you're not a member of the church, I encourage you to come Wednesday night and to be present and just witness what it's like to see the unleavened bread and the wine being partaken of, and to watch the brothers and sisters in Christ kneel down and wash one another's feet. It's the most moving and most spiritual service of the entire year. Marvelous thing. And by the way, Primitive Baptists aren't the only ones that do it now. And there used to be a lot more churches that had feet washing when they had communion. We've had people that come here from the nursing homes that were members of other denominations, and they've told us, many of them told us, I haven't seen that since I was a little child. And they came from different denominations. And I asked them, I said, why did y'all's denomination quit having feet washing? And without exception, they said, because we got too full of pride. Isn't pride a problem that we all have? Even though I might get down and wash your feet, I still have a problem with pride in other ways, don't I? All of us have to fight that problem of pride. That's a part of human nature. We have to fight against that. The Word of God says that pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And if I have a mind that's full of pride, it's going to manifest itself, and you can mark it down that I'm going to be destroyed in my life if I have a mind that's full of pride instead of a mind that's full of humility. Now, did the apostles have a problem with pride and arrogancy? Did the apostles, I'm talking about the 12 apostles, did the 12 apostles have a problem with humility? Let me put it that way. Did they have a problem with being humble? Let's look back up in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Please look in your Bibles. Now, I want you to notice this. It's very, very important. We're going to mention this one thing, and then we're going to go on to a second characteristic of the mind of Christ. Look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 18. I want to read the first three verses there as we think about the importance of God's children having the mind of Christ, that we need the mind of Christ. Does it take humility to submit to water baptism? Does that take humility to submit to water baptism? Indeed, it does. Does it take humility to admit that you're not perfect, but you want to be a part of the church of Jesus Christ and come down the aisle and take up your cross in water baptism? Does that take humility? What's the number one thing that keeps people from being a disciple and from taking up their cross and being a part of the church? Number one problem is pride. That's the number one problem. Matthew chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Now you just picture those disciples of Jesus. Let's suppose that me and Brother James and Brother Richard and Brother David, we went up to Jesus and said, "Now, which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" What do you think our feeling is whenever we go up to Jesus and say, "Which one of us is the greatest in the kingdom?" What do you think our feeling is? If we're arguing about which one's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, what's our feeling? Pride. Jesus, I want to be the number one. Can you tell me I'm better than my than your other disciples? Can you tell me that I'm better than these other apostles? Am I the best one there is? So they came to Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Verse 2 says, "And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." What was he telling these disciples? He was telling them, "You think you're the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? You can't even enter the kingdom of heaven unless you humble yourself as this little child." Are there times that we're cast out of the kingdom of heaven because we don't have the what? We don't have the mind of Christ. We're cast out of the kingdom. When we don't have the mind of humility and the mind of a servant, and we're not willing to do what Jesus tells us to do, and we think we're somebody, and we think we're great, we're not even in the kingdom of heaven. So he says, "Except ye be converted and become as little children." I want you to remember this. "Except ye be converted and become as little children," he says, "ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Remember that. Just mark that down and remember that. Do I have to have the mind of Christ in order to be in the kingdom of heaven? Listen again. Do I have to have the mind of Christ in order to be in the kingdom of heaven? Yes. I have to have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ was a mind of humility. Do I have to be humble in order to enter the kingdom of heaven? Yes. Now, I want to go from that, I want to go to a second characteristic of the mind of Christ that almost seems like it contradicts the first, but it's completely different. I want you to follow this carefully. Jesus Christ had a mind of humility, a mind of meekness. He says, Jesus says in Matthew 11, he says, "I am meek and lowly." Now that's what Jesus was. He was humble. And in the same breath, I would emphasize that Jesus was a determined mind. He had a determined mind. He had a steadfast mind. He had an unmovable mind. He had a mind that once he set it in action to go in a particular direction, he could not and would not budge from that. Why? Because the mind of Christ was to do the will of the Father. And it didn't matter what distractions came along his journey, he never let them alter his course. His mind was a strong mind, a determined mind, a mind that was steadfast. He charted his course. One scripture says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Now what kind of picture do you get from that, where Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. What kind of picture do you get there? Did people try to stop him from going to Jerusalem on that particular journey? Well, see, now some people think that if you're humble, you bow down to what other people want you to do. Well, that's not what humility is all about. I've tried to talk about humility. But a person who is humble will also, if they have the mind of Christ, have a determined mind that they're going to do what God would have them to do, no matter what the rest of the world thinks or says or does. They cannot stop them. They will not sway them because they have the mind of Christ. They're determined the direction that they're going. And the direction they're going is not based on their own thoughts or own feelings. The direction they're going is based on what God says is right. That is what our mind ought to be set on, is the Word of God. For example, the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 17, he says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Now, was Paul humble? Was Paul humble? Did he have the mind of Christ about being humble? Yes, he did. But was he also a determined man? Did he have a mind that was determined and steadfast, that he would not budge? And it did not matter who told him to go in a different direction. He didn't let all those people hollering go this way and that way. He didn't let that affect them. He had charted his course, and he was walking the straight and narrow path, and he was going to honor God even if it made everybody else mad. Now, is it possible to be humble and at the same time to have that mind of determination to do the will of God, to do the will of the Father? I think that it is. I think that we as God's children, we need to be humble, but we also need that mind that's steadfast and unmovable. For example, back up in your Bibles, look in Matthew chapter 4. Please look in your Bibles at Matthew chapter 4, and you'll find that Jesus had a determined mind, a strong mind, a committed mind, a stable mind, a steadfast mind, an unmovable mind. You know, it's one thing for people to try to get you off course, but you come face to face with the devil, you think people give you trouble. You have a battle with the devil sometime. I'm talking about like Jesus had right here. And don't think you won't have it, brethren. The devil is your enemy. The devil is a roaring lion. And he's desiring to destroy your life. And he's desiring to get you off course. And you need the mind of Christ to stay on course. You need a determined mind, strong mind. Is that the mind of Christ? Did he have a strong, determined mind? He did. Whenever he was, well, you know, this just came to me in Matthew 3 when he went to be baptized. You remember he went to be baptized? Did John the Baptist want to baptize him? Did John the Baptist want to baptize Jesus? Didn't want to baptize him. He said, I can't baptize you. Well, now, what did Jesus have? Did Jesus have an humble mind and say, okay, John. You can't baptize me. I understand. No, he had a determined mind. He was humble. Having a strong mind and saying, no, it suffereth us, it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. You see, the mind of John the Baptist was different than the mind of Jesus right here. But the mind of Jesus was to do what was right. And the fact that John the Baptist was mistaken about who ought to be baptized, the fact is that Jesus would not budge and that he was going to be baptized. Then you come to Matthew 4, and Jesus is led up into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And the devil takes him up into a mountain. And so, in verse 3, the tempter came to, and this is after Jesus has been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. Now, could he be swayed right then, or did he have a strong mind? Very good, Sister Shirley. She first said he could be, no, he had a strong mind. He would not be swayed. He had been fasting, and the devil came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Did Jesus, as the Son of God, did he have the power to command that those stones be turned into bread? Did he have that power? He had that power. And that's what the devil was trying to tempt him to do, was to prove that he had that power. And Jesus, verse 4 says, Jesus answered, it is written, man shall... I want you to notice every time. You know what he goes to? This strong-minded, determined mind. You know what it goes to? Every time he says,
It is written. It is written. It is written. Don't you ever budge from what the truth of God's Word says. Brother Jerry heard a message on the answering machine in the back of the church this morning that it said that your pastor was a liar and a deceiver and it had a bunch of long, nasty names. He said that I was not a Christian. I had preached some things that he didn't agree with. Well, he didn't give me his name. If he'd have given me his name, I'd have gone and talked to him in love. Because the man, he says, you don't even know Jesus. Well, listen, brethren. The Jesus of this Bible is different than the Jesus that most of the people in this world know. He was mad because I had talked about homosexuality. You know? And he doesn't believe what God's Word says about homosexuality. And he was very irate about it. And in his mind, I'm not a Christian. Now listen, if you're going to let people that say you're not a Christian and people who call you names because you're going the way the Word of God says to go, if you're going to let that bother you, you might as well hang it up. You'll never be a Christian if you're going to let what people say bother you. It can't bother you. You've got to just keep on course. Could the devil budge Jesus right here in Matthew chapter 4? No. No matter what he did. He kept doing one thing after another. And he said, now, I'll take you up on this mountain. I'll show you all the kingdoms of the world. If you'll just bow down. Jesus said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Every time, all three times that the devil was trying to get Jesus off course, Jesus never budged. Now, let me just give you something in closing. Listen carefully. You remember when I said, and we were looking at God's Word about humility, you remember in Matthew chapter 18, listen carefully in closing now. I'm trying to draw two very important points together. In Matthew 18, Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye cannot enter what? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Except ye be converted and become as little children. Do you have to have the mind of Christ pertaining to humility in order to be in the kingdom of heaven? Yes. Now, determination. Do you have to have that mind of determination, a strong mind, a mind that will not budge? A life that will not bend. Don't bend, don't bow, don't budge when Satan tries to get you off course. You have to have that kind of mind to be in the kingdom of heaven. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus says in Luke 9:62, he says, no man having put his hand to the plow and what? What's the next two words there? And what? Looking back. Looking back. You know, did Jesus ever look back? Did Jesus ever look back? No. He was going forward. He had a strong, determined mind to go in the right direction, to do the will of the Father. Do you have to have that kind of man to be a Christian and to enter into the kingdom of heaven? You have to have that same mind. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. You have to have humility. You have to have the mind of humility to enter the kingdom of heaven. You have to have a strong mind, a determined mind, in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. May God help us to learn more. And I hope the Lord will bless us to continue to study the characteristics of the mind of Christ and examine ourselves and see, do we have the mind of Christ? May God help us to do that, is my prayer, for Christ's sake.